Amen. Good to see everyone tonight. It's not. I didn't say it should be. Should be there. All right. It's been a good day. I hope you've had a good Father's Day. I hope you had some time. If you got a father, to call them as well. I hope that if you've got children, spent some time with them. And I'm thankful for mine and my father and my children. And what a blessing to be able to spend that time. God has orchestrated and designed exactly the way it's supposed to be. And it'd be good to have some godly fathers out there. And I hope that would be your desire as well. If you've got a hymn book with you, turn over to page number 66 at Calvary. Page number 66. Have you stand as we get started here. Page number 66 at Calvary. At Calvary. Page 66. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the third, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come to Your house. Lord, I pray that You'd meet with us tonight. I pray, Father, for the message to be exactly right on target, exactly what we need in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You'd just encourage through it. Father, I pray for those that are able to tune in on YouTube and be part of. And Lord, I pray that You'd just speak to hearts where we are. Lord, I am thankful that we can reach out. And Lord, I think about the distance we're able to reach through this ministry and being able to have it live online at the same time. But then, Lord, as well, I pray, Father, that You would speak to those hearts exactly where they are, exactly what's needed. And Lord, don't allow me to be a stumbling block. Don't allow me to be a hindrance, Lord, to anyone coming forward and walking closer to You. But Lord, instead, let me be an encourager, Lord. Let me strengthen. Let me be Your mouthpiece tonight. And Father, we'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. If you would, take your hymn books, turn over to page number 12. It's been a while since we've sang this song. I was getting the songs ready for tonight, I came across the song. I said, you know, it's been a long time. Let's sing Blessed Redeemer. I'm thankful to be saved tonight. I hope that you can say the same. If you can't, I do have good news for you. Now, you can say that tonight. And there's a blessed Redeemer that wants to redeem you. Same way I was redeemed, you can be redeemed also. Page number 12, Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Aren't those beautiful words? Father, forgive them, thus did He pray. Even while His life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners, all in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how He loved Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Amen. I do want to thank everyone for coming this morning that was able to come. After we had shut the video off and the audio off, we had discussed a few things. I'm going to go ahead and announce it now that Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights we will have service here at the church. Sunday morning will be at 11 o'clock, and Wednesday night will be at 7, our normal time. Now, with that, there's no Sunday school at this time, and there's strict social distancing, bathroom responsibilities of keeping your hands back to yourself, your children as well. And I encourage you, you say, Preacher, how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to have to kind of stagger as we go throughout the sanctuary. And some of the families, we're just going to have to be families together, but we'll be able to sit. This morning, it was a little warm outside. Granted, I'm fine. We can sweat through it. We've got a tent ministry as well, and when I preach anyway, even here in the sanctuary, I'm sweating anyway. But I believe that we could come to the point. Now, we're going to establish some things. And you say, Preacher, why can't we have Sunday night and why can't we have Sunday school? It kind of goes back to social distancing and cleaning and disinfecting. It's not enough to just spray stuff on the pews and say it's going to kill the germs. There's a procedure that has to be done in order to kill what needs to be killed. We're going to install some units inside of our air conditioners to help kill the bacteria. It'll even kill the mold in the ductwork. It definitely does a job. And so there's some safeguards that we've put in place. Also with that, we've got physical restrictions within ourselves. You say, Preacher, what about a mask? You want me to wear a mask? If you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. You're not going to hurt my feelings one way or the other. You might be sticking your tongue out at me through the mask. I don't know. But you know, with that, you do what you feel you need as well. If you feel you need to stay home, that's okay. It's not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to offend me. And I'm thankful we'll still be running all of our services live on YouTube. And we will also have our audio services going to where those that are getting the CDs right now will keep sending out CDs. And praise the Lord, if we break the bank buying CDs, we'll break the bank buying CDs. We'll be okay. And I'm thankful for what God's done and how He's allowed us to continue to minister in this time and protect us as well. And so I did want to put that out there. I also want to thank the church for the very generous love offering that you gave my wife and I. Our 27th wedding anniversary is coming up this week on the 26th, and I'm excited about that. 27 years on the 26th, if that doesn't confuse you. And I'm thankful that I'm thankful for the wife that God has given me, my helpmeet. And I've often said she's my missing rib when she's not here with me. I'm definitely out of sort. It just makes it to where I don't have that support that I'm supposed to have. I kind of feel lopsided, I guess, if you would. And so I'm thankful for her and thankful for the generous gift that you've given to me and my wife. But I'm also thankful for the love that you give. And to be your pastor and pastor's family is an honor and a privilege. Amen. Take your hymn book, if you would. Turn over to page number 411. I was singing this the other day, and just to myself, and I was thinking, we haven't sang it in a while. We are definitely in a time that's different from anything I've experienced. I've experienced some life. I've experienced some pains. I've experienced some heartaches. I've experienced some uncertainties. But I'll be honest with you, what our country's going through and what this world's going through right now with the virus and the turmoil, the division within our nation, it's something that I've never went through. And for some reason, God just brought this song up in my heart. And it's talking about holding on a little bit longer. You know, we need to just continue to hold the fort. Jesus is going to come. Hey, look, any minute He could come back. I wonder what it'd be like if He came back and we're going to have this YouTube video and all of a sudden you see us and then you don't. Wouldn't that be such a blessing that God would call us and it'd be in the time of church? And I know I'd be where I'm supposed to be. I'm at church. And you say, preacher, we're not able to be in that building. Listen to me. If you're attending this service right now, you're where you're supposed to be. And I'm thankful for that. And so let's sing Hold the Fort, page number 411. Get your Bibles handy here. And get your Bibles handy. We're going to need them. Here we go. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By Thy grace we will see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By Thy grace we will. On the third, see the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By Thy grace we will. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Amen, amen. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's grab our Bibles and turn back over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter 24. I'd like to give you a little bit of thought tonight. I had been in study for this morning's message, and God began to speak to me about the message for tonight, and I didn't have it all in place until this afternoon, but it's definitely one that we need to hear tonight, and I don't care, mothers and fathers together. I'm thankful as much as it's Father's Day and we're here to remember fathers, I'm thankful for godly mothers that stand behind and beside godly fathers. And they're able to continue to walk together and lead their house, because truly it is investing in our homes that we'll get them all in the ark, and we're going to take the whole house up. And boy, I'm thankful. And Jeremiah is the last one in our family right now, and he's already asking questions, and boy, I'm excited about that. He's got a love for the Lord that you'd be just amazed at his age. And I'm excited that God's doing a work in his heart. And it won't be long. And God will show him his need and show him his Savior as well. But I want my whole family to be in heaven with me. Joshua chapter number 24, if you would, take your Bibles. Let's look at verse number 22. I read this at the last of the message this morning, but I want us to stand here. We're gonna read this a little bit, verse number 22 through 27, and then we'll go to prayer and just see how the Lord brings this out. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, it's been a wonderful day. And Lord, I am thankful for the privilege to be a husband and a father. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us tonight as we think about our homes and we think about the direction of our children and, Lord, even the direction of our country. We realize that churches, strong churches, are made up of strong families. And the nation would be stronger, ultimately, if we had stronger families that made stronger churches. And Lord, as I think about the children that are out there and don't have a mom or a dad, Lord, it breaks my heart. And I know that it breaks yours as we think about your desire and your plea for the fatherless. And then, Lord, I pray that you would just help us tonight to see what we need to do in our life, that we would set up the right future for tomorrow. And Lord, I pray, give us strength and wisdom. Give us direction. Give us discernment. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Fathers have some responsibility according to the Bible. I know that I've mentioned it many times. I even mentioned it this morning. No one wants to take responsibility for their actions. It's always someone else's fault. It's always something else that has caused it. But may I tell you that God does not eliminate our responsibilities just because we don't want to take them. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so therefore, fathers, it's our responsibility to bring them up in the nurture. This is speaking about to feed them, to educate them, and to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the Lord. Feed them in the Lord. I think about the desire that God has that in the mornings we talk about the Lord. When in the middle of the day we talk about the Lord to our family, to our co-workers, and listen. God should always be on the forefront. God should always be that one, and we're able to discuss and we're able to talk to our children about Him. But then he goes on and he says it's not just the nurture, but it's also the admonition. This is the correction. Now, it's not always the rod. Sometimes it's just the talk. Sometimes it's the love, that you love them where they are and that you're bringing them up and you're correcting them. Listen, there's a difference in condemning and condoning. I still condemn sin, but I love the sinner. I still love my child, even though they've done wrong. And so we look here and we think about this correction. I'm not going to condone it. I'm not going to tell them it's acceptable and that it's okay, but I still love them. Boy, I'm thankful my Father loves me, even when I'm wrong. My Heavenly Father loves me regardless. And so I find that we need to love them enough to set up some landmarks. We love them enough to set up some guidelines and some landmarks in our life. And you say, "Preacher, what's a landmark?" Well, I'm glad you asked. A landmark, by definition, is a mark to designate the boundary of land. Or mark, any mark or fixed object, as a marked tree, a stone, a ditch, or a heap of stones, by which the limits of a farm, a town, or other portion of territory may be known and preserved. Boy, we live in the South. You can talk to anyone about a landmark. In fact, I'd rather have a landmark than I would an actual street name, because half the street names you can't read, or the signs are turned funny and you can't read it when you're driving down the road. But if you tell me, "Hey, up there's the McDonald's, and right after you pass the McDonald's, you're going to turn right, and you're going to come around that, and as you begin to veer off to the right on a turn, you're going to continue to go straight. And you'll see an open field out there, and you're just going to go straight past that. And then you'll see where they're building this new building, and you're going to go past that. And then you're going to see the sign that says Northside Baptist Church. You're going to turn left. And then you're going to come here." And boy, landmarks get us some places, don't they? Landmarks bring us to some places. But then I find that a landmark is not just used as a term for us that are on the land, but it's also used for those that were at sea. It was a mark that was on the land that was used to navigate them in the right direction. It's not just used as a landmark to associate where something is or the boundaries of something, but it's also used to navigate. And I just showed you how to navigate to get to the church a moment ago, using landmarks. And so it's used very well today. We have fences to mark our boundaries and landmarks that are set up. Maybe it's a pile of stones that are placed. I think about those old fences that were put up. They weren't out of wood. They were out of rock. And they would take those rocks and they would line them up, and that would be the boundaries, and that would be a stone fence that would mark that territory. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse 28, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I wonder how many landmarks we're setting today. You know, we need to set up some stones in our life that would be landmarks for our family to follow, our family to be established in, to know that this is the boundaries that we have, but also to know that this is the navigation that we need. And so if you'd allow me tonight, I'd like to preach a little bit about setting up some stones in our life. I find that the very first stone that we need to set up is the stone of heading. The stone of heading. Notice, if you would, you can hold your place in Joshua 24, but if you would, turn over to Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, they're going to set up some stones of heading. Some stones of heading. You're going to say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, it's the direction that they're going. It's the stones of their heading. And so we look here in Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at verse number 1. Now bear with me. Once again, we're going to be reading quite a few verses. I don't want to assume that you know the account. And I need you to pick out some of the words that are here. I want you to see some things. Notice this in Joshua chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean past the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command that ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, and out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan. Take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones, notice this, in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Look back over at verse number 19, or look over at verse number 19, Joshua 4. "The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho." And those 12 stones, not different ones, not substituted, not similar to, those exact stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, "When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground, on dry land. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until ye were passed over, until as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we were gone over, and all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." And so I find here that it's the stone of heading. I look and this represents the first stones, the ones that are in the middle of the Jordan, represents Christ's death. You say, "Preacher, how is that?" Now, I'm not telling you that they got saved at the Jordan River. No. salvation began at the Passover when the blood was applied. You remember that? And He delivered them through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was parted, and they walked across on dry land. But did you notice that that memorial is to show them how, hold on a second, the only reason I'm headed this direction is because there was a Savior that had died for me. There was one that loved me, and He died on my in my place. He took, hold on a second. Now, I need to go ahead and just give you these together. I'm going to preach them together if you'll allow me. I find here that it represents these two piles of stones. The first one in the middle of the Jordan. Not the stones that were taken. That was me. But I find that the stones that were left there in my place, it was Christ's death. It was a substitutionary death. It was the death of Jesus. It was the death that was before the cross. I'm sorry, before the ark, which the blood was applied at the mercy seat. Listen to me. Oh, hey, I think about that one that was placed there in my place. I was that stone that was lifted up. I was that stone that was taken in the right direction. But it was my Savior that took my place. It was my Savior that died before the judgment of God. It was my Savior that died in the wrath that God sent for me. Oh, I find here, He stayed in my judgment. He took my place. And so I find that not only was the first one Christ's death, but I find my deliverance. You see, I was the one that was picked up out of the middle of that judgment. I was the one that was placed in victory on the other side. I was the one that was taken. I wouldn't have a heading if it wasn't for the fact that I had a Savior that took my place. I wouldn't have a heading if it wasn't for Christ's death. I wouldn't have a direction to go. I wouldn't have any victory that I've gained. It's all because He's taken my place. Oh, I'm thankful. Now listen to me. I don't know how big those rocks were. I can only picture these men picking these rocks up. And they were so large, it was one man's carry. It was everything that they could do to carry it there. Because the Bible tells us that they can be seen in the river. I can see when that river comes back down to its normal. Oh, they can look out there and they can see that the water's moved because that pile of stones is in the middle. I don't know how big the stones were that they took. I don't know if these men had taken them and went ahead on to Gilgal, or if they marched and they carried that weight with them the entire journey, all the way to Gilgal, to where they could rest and lodge that night. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us when they got there. It just tells us that they carried these stones and they set them up for memorial, but there's a reason for it. Because there was going to be a time when their children were going to ask the fathers, Daddy, what's that stone mean? What mean these stones? Oh, Daddy, what's the purpose of those stones out there? You see, Daddy, how that water's moving. Why are they there? Oh, and the Bible says you can still see it. You know where they are right now? They're still there in that Jordan River. That was a long time ago. But I'm thankful that my Savior died for me before the foundation of the world. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? We were out at the farm the other day. We've been out there quite a bit here lately, trying to get things done, and I'm working on digging a pond. And it's funny because it's not mud, but it's mud. It's not soupy mud, but it's definitely sticky mud. And Jeremiah loves it, and he gets out there and he plays in it. And you know, I heard him humming a song the other day. It was the tune to I Am Resolved. And I just heard him humming it. And I just had to smile. He doesn't know what that means. He doesn't know what it means to be resolved. But you know what he did one day? He said, Daddy, what mean these stones? And I just had to tell him Daddy's direction. Oh, listen to me. It'd be good for us to set up the stones tonight. It'd be good for us to set up the stone of heading. Oh, it's good for us to remember Calvary. It's good to remember that there's a blessed Redeemer. It's good to remember that we have victory. It's good to remember that mercy was great and grace was free. Because there is one that took my judgment and set me up in victory. And so I find as well that not just a stone of heading that we need to set up tonight, but I find that we need a stone of hearing. Go back over to our text in Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter number 24, I read it for our opening text. A stone of hearing. A stone of hearing. In Joshua chapter number 24, the Bible teaches us here that this stone has heard all the words of God, but it's also heard us obey or say what we were going to do. And He made a covenant. He made a statute and an ordinance, if you would. He made a command or a direction for them. And He said, this stone's been set up. But notice what this ordinance was. Notice what they've said. Look at verse 23 and 24 of Joshua 24. He says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. And so what I'm telling you tonight is that we need to set up the stone of hearing. Joshua took a great stone, and he set it under the oak near the sanctuary of the Lord. And he set it up, and he told the children of Israel, this stone's going to be a witness against you. It knows exactly what it's supposed to be. May I tell you that our children hear us all the time. Our children hear us all the time. I wonder what they would say about our double life. I wonder what they would say when they see our heart. You see, the Bible tells us here in verse number 23, He says, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. May I remind you that where your treasure is in Matthew 6 and verse 21, there will your heart be also. I wonder what our children see as we incline our heart toward the treasures of this world. I wonder what our children would say in the stone of hearing when they've heard us say that we're going to serve the Lord, when they've heard us say that we're going to put away the strange gods, when they've heard us say that we're going to live our life for the Lord, that we're going to give everything to God, and then they see us when we don't incline our heart to the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Romans. Hold your place now in the book of Joshua. Go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Very simple thought here tonight. But this stone of hearing, it's a witness of our faithfulness. You see, He says, incline your heart. And they said, we will. He said, put away your strange gods. And they said, we will. And so, I wonder what this witness would say about us and our faithfulness as it sees our heart, but then as well as it sees our God. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter number 6, and we got quite a few verses to read, so bear with me. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I'd ask us tonight, who's our real servant? Or who are we really servant to? Now, I'm not telling you that you're out in vile sin. You don't have to be to yield yourself servant unto uncleanness. You see, it's simple obedience that God desires. It's not great sacrifice. It's the fact that we said that we'd obey Him, that we'll follow Him. And how many times do we look to skirt around or look to see how much we can be right on that line? You know what that is rebellion. And the Bible teaches us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What we need tonight is a stone of hearing. We need to remember that there's little ears that are hearing us. There's someone that's going to follow us. Oh, I always think about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the one that had turned his face to the wall when Isaiah had came and told him, look, get your things in order. God had sent me to tell you that you're going to die. Get everything ready. God's going to take you home. And Hezekiah was a great man, a great king. He had served the Lord early in his ministry, or in his kingdom. And he had removed the high groves. He had done everything to serve the Lord. And then he had kind of just got stagnant. And he turned his face to the wall and he said, remember when I served you? Remember all that I had done. And God gave him 15 more years. 3 years into that, he had a son by the name of Manasseh. And the Bible records Manasseh taking the kingdom at 12 years old and being evil in the sight of the Lord. I wonder what Manasseh heard from Hezekiah. He said he was going to serve God with those last 15 years. But I wonder what happened. I wonder what fell short. Listen, daddies, there's going to be a time where your children come and they're going to ask you, what mean these stones? Why did you even say it if you wasn't going to live it? Oh, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. But your children know you better than your pastor knows you. Your children know how you skirt around it, or it's really not that important. And so we need a stone of hearing. We need to remember that we've got a witness of faithfulness before God. But I find as well, probably one of the greatest ones we need is a stone of help. You don't have to hold your place in Joshua, but take your Bible, turn over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Samuel is the last judge and the first prophet. In 1 Samuel chapter number 7, I want us to pick up in verse number 3. We find here, this is after the death of Eli. This is after the return of the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines have been afflicting the children of Israel as judgment. Listen to me. As judgment. I don't know that COVID is judgment from God for the lost nation of America or the lost world as much as it is for the church. And the sad part is just like with David when he had numbered the people and sinned against God, it was the others that suffered. And so I look here and I find in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, I want us to pick up in verse number 3. The Bible says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Now I want you to look on. Go on over to verse number 10. In verse number 10. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to the battle of Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And so I find here that we need the stone of help. You see, did you notice that the very same thing that Joshua had told them that they needed to do, that they said that they're going to do, and I know you read on past in Joshua and you find that the children of Israel served the Lord as long as Joshua and those elders that had overlived Joshua lived. And then after that, we know that we come into the book of Judges, and we know that we come into the book of 1 Samuel. And Israel's already against. Now listen, it doesn't take very long for us in our own lives. We get up and we say that, boy, I'm going to serve God today. And it's not very long in the day and we've already failed Him. It's not very long in the week and we've already fallen short. And we need to set up a stone of help. For one, it shows our failures. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to remind me about my failures." Hold on, bear with me a minute. You see, as we think about this stone of help, we come to the place that we can't do it. And I need God's grace to get me through it. And we set that stone up. It's a battle that I've been trying to fight and I haven't been able to get through it. Oh, listen to me. Don't be so proud, daddies, that you don't think that your children need to know that you're not perfect. And so we look at this stone that's set up. It reminds us of our failures. But may I tell you what it really does? It's set up there because of our failures and I needed a stone of help. But what it shows our children is God's forgiveness. Because as I look down my life and I see those stones of Ebenezer where I failed and I needed God's help and I needed Him to lift me up and I needed Him to fight my battle and I needed Him to have the victory and I needed Him because I couldn't do it. It reminds me every time about God's forgiveness. And so may I tell you as a parent, I love all three of my boys and all three of them are different. And each one is going to have their own place, that they're going to have some failures in their life. You know why it's so important that they see Daddy's failures? Because they know that when they set up that place and it marks that failure, it's no longer a failure when God forgives. It's no longer a failure and it's not a place that you haven't succeeded. No. It's a place that you've failed, but God's given you a victory because He loves you. Listen to me. It would do us well tonight if we'd set up some stones of help and understand that as much as I want to be that dad right now, Jeremiah thinks Daddy knows everything. If you were to ask John and Jacob, they'd tell you different. Jeremiah was asking me tonight why there's lights over the pulpit. And I said it so that I can see at the pulpit. He said, "Dad, why is there lights at the choir?" I said, "Son, that's simple. It's so that the choir can see." And he said, "Well, Dad, what are these big lights on the side? I mean, why do we have those?" I said, "Son, that's so that there's light in the sanctuary." And he said, "Well, what about these cup lights is what he calls them. They look like they're a cup." And I said, it's for decoration, but it's also so that you can see in the sanctuary when it's dark outside. And they can read from the pews." And he said, "Boy, Dad, you know a lot about the light here." Boy, I'm glad I know all about the light that I want him to see that even in Dad's darkest days, there's a Savior that forgives. In our failures, God's still greater. The children of Israel had failed, miserably failed. And God said, look, if you'll just turn back to me. Is that not what He promises us? Is that not what He says to us? If you'll confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Boy, I tell you, I'm thankful for a God in heaven that in the midst of my failures, I can set up a stone and I can say, this is where Daddy's failed, but this is where God's forgiven me. And that's going to be those landmarks that they're going to be able to know. Those are the boundaries that Daddy's walked. Those are some battles that Daddy's fought. Those are some places that God's forgiven. Listen, Daddy's not perfect. But I'm thankful I have a God in heaven that loves me and forgives me and sets me back up and gives me the victory. Why? Because there's some stones that I want to set in my life. You might not have one rock of Ebenezer. You might have a whole path of them. But I'm thankful that every place that you set it, it's just a mark that says God's forgiven me here. It'd be good for us tonight to set up some stones that we could mark where God's doing the work in our life. A stone of heading. I haven't forgot who's put me on this path. His way, because He is the way. But then I haven't forgot that I have a stone of hearing. And it witnesses my faithfulness to Him. But then because I'm going to fall short, I have a stone of help. It reminds me of my failures. But more than that, it reminds me of God's forgiveness. How about you tonight? Maybe there's some stones that you need to set up. And I know you're going to say, Preacher, Joshua didn't set up that first one or that last one. He didn't. Because he set up the first one. You know what God's desire is that we'd just continue to walk in His grace. But I'm thankful that His grace is sufficient and He still forgives because I'm still falling short. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for Your love, how I fall short, but how You're faithful to forgive. Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight as we fall short, that You would forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, I'm thankful to be able to be a daddy that can set up some stones, those landmarks that my children need to see, those stones in my life that are going to be there that they're going to ask me someday, Daddy, what mean these stones? And I'm going to be able to tell them about the rock that I stand on. Lord, I pray, help us tonight. Have Your will and way in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.